Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than working out new material in front of ISIS. Our number to call in if you are listening. Well, you can't do that tonight. Never mind. I'll explain that in a second. Anyway, you can join our chat room if you're listening live. Go to Den Pen by going to davinsden.com and clicking chat and listen live. Or if you are listening on one of our affiliates, simply open up a new window in your browser, type in davincomedy.com, go to the Davin's Den page on the bottom, click on that, click chat, and go. As always, I am Davin Rosenblatt. As usual, Joe is not here yet, but oh, he should be here soon. And as fairly usual, Pip is here, but not here. She's on the phone, but not in studio. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
How's it going?
You know, if my ovaries would control themselves, everything would be awesome.
Ovary talk at the top of the show. Fantastic. That's what we're known for. That's disgusting. That is really, really disgusting.
They're not gross.
They're causing problems.
Well, yeah, they have for my lifetime.
I'll tell you what, Pip, if you were a dog, I would take you out back and shoot you.
Why, thank you, honey. At least someone will put me out of my misery.
Your misery, everybody else's misery, too. I mean, there is a lot. You have a lot of issues for somebody who, quite frankly, is not that old.
I know. I have a couple of chronic things going on, and the ovaries are two of them.
All right. Well, on the show tonight, bands and musicians that most people adore, but you, or us, hate. An interview with comedian Tim Grill about the difficulties he's facing getting his tour featuring all handicapped comedians booked. You wouldn't think in this day and age of political correctness that there would be issues getting such a tour booked. You would think it would be very popular and everybody would be flocking on to have that in their venue. But apparently we still live in the Stone Ages, so we'll talk to Tim about that. Let's see. U2's Bono thinks the key to defeating ISIS is to send in the comics. That's great. We'll see if we get to the pet things. I have something about pets tonight, but I don't know if we're going to get to the pet thing. Depends how long we do with the Bono. So maybe we'll talk about pets and how you love them. Maybe we won't. So I'm making you promises on that. We're going to do something we haven't done in a while, but it's always popular. I tend to infiltrate the scammer pages and the scammer websites, and I like to report back to you what they're saying, how they're doing business. So we'll do some of that later on. I don't think we've ever done that on the show for Talk Radio Network, so that might be...
No.
So we'll do that. So that shows how long since I've been doing that, because we've been with them about 6 months, six glorious months. And last week, Ann Jackson shared how two branches of the FBI told her she was being scammed, which opened up the door for a scammer pretending to be the FBI to re-scam her. So we'll see what she's got in store this week. So, it really is a mess.
It's such a mess.
I'll tell you what, Anne makes me miss Belinda.
Wow. Well, you know what? That's not really saying much, because Belinda was quite the, smorgasbord of fun activities.
I'll tell you. All right. Anne makes me miss Flory.
Oh, God, no. Okay, now I feel bad.
I miss my first love.
Flory was a dunce.
And Anne's not?
No, Anne is stupid in a completely different way.
Well,
Anne is crazy.
I mean, that could be used as a description to describe all the characters on this show. Each one is stupid in their own way.
Well, yeah, I'll wear that proudly.
You should.
I know.
Before, what the hell? Oh, before you got ill, what anything interesting happen?
Yeah, I had a great weekend. One of the things I did over the weekend was I met with the, I used to work for a recorded tour company that was located in the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And one of the ladies I used to work with set up a reunion of all the employees that used to work there in the 80s.
Wow.
And
wow. Yeah, that's as big as Guns N' Roses getting back together. That is... I mean, nobody thought all you could be together in one room again. I mean, I know there was tour differences and everything, but it does go to show how people mellow.
Actually, divide between the people who worked for the concession, who did the recorded tours, and the actual Met employees. But it wasn't a divide that was unsurmountable.
Well, I mean, in the defense of the concession people, the Met employees were known for, like, checking into work 3 hours late. And that just really upset all the people who came to the museum.
No. No, actually, the Met employees were actually considered sort of a little bit more highbrow than us outside concession people.
Oh, you were a concession person?
Yeah.
I should have known.
Well, we sold the recorded tours, and it was a great job. I mean, it was a kooky job, but it was a great job, and there were a lot of nice characters that worked there.
A lot of nice characters? Who, like Mickey and Goofy?
No, I don't mean like cartoon characters, but I mean like the people who tended to go for that sort of job were all like colorful characters.
Okay, because when I think of museums, I think of wacky.
Well, the Met is not one of the museums that's considered more of the wacky. It's not like, oh, I don't know. I don't want to throw aspersions at MoMA, but the Museum of Modern Art or anything like a little side gallery full of bon vivants, but the Met is considered kind of staid, you know?
Oh, okay, so it's not as much fun as the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum.
No, it's not got that reputation at all.
There's no big shark coming out of the building of the Met.
No.
Oh.
There's not even a giant dinosaur.
Oh, see, that's the type of place I picture you working.
Well, you know, sure, but there are giant phalluses.
Okay.
If you know where to look.
And somebody's pants, usually the black guys.
Wait a minute. No, those, the giant phalluses that you're thinking about were in the security guard's pants, but I'm thinking about the giant phalluses in the eastern island art area.
Okay.
If you know where to look, there's some pretty funky stuff.
No.
But
I don't.
I was talking about, we used to work in the Costume Institute and...
a little cosplay?
Sorry?
Did you do a little cosplay? Did you get dressed up as a pilgrim? Make fantasies happen?
Not cosplay. Costume.
Well, I figure you have the costumes. You bring that back to the bedroom.
No, there's none of that. There weren't any, Star Wars lasers or anything involved in it.
Yeah, but you could be like a Victorian woman.
Well, I feel like a Victorian woman. I'm so old. But no, we could have. But then again, we probably would have been in big trouble.
This place sucks.
No, we used to get checked by the guards to make sure at the end of the night that we weren't bringing any items of art home with us.
This sucks.
I had a big bag, and I always check it just to make sure I didn't, shove some little, Tiffany or some kind of a tiny Greek statue out with me.
Okay, well, you are suspect. All right, so you got this little reunion.
Yeah, it was great. We were talking about old times, and one of the things that I remembered while we were doing this was, did I ever tell you my Charlie Watts story?
No, you would think I would remember a story like that. I don't even know who Charlie Watt is. Did he invent the giggle?
Charlie Watts is the drummer for the Rolling Stones, youngster.
Oh, okay. I don't like the Stones.
Oh, my God.
I like a couple songs.
You and I have... I can't believe we even meet in the middle with... What do you call it? What's your favorite band again?
Aerosmith?
Yeah, I know. I'm so done. I can't believe that we even both like Aerosmith and a couple of other bands because we're so divergent in our taste.
No, a lot of people like the Rolling Stones. I like a couple of their songs. I get it. But,
all right.
You know, it's just
Charlie's the drummer.
Is he still alive?
Sorry?
Is he still? Okay. All right.
Yeah, I believe he's the eldest of the Rolling Stones.
What is it? Is it Bill Wyman that's dead?
He's not dead.
Oh, somebody's dead in that band.
Brian Jones is dead.
Okay, so yeah, I knew somebody was dead.
But he died many years ago, young.
All right.
So so we were at this particular exhibit. This girl Jennifer and I were incredibly bored, like bored out of our skulls, because nobody was coming over to buy the tours for this particular exhibit for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
So we were standing there at the cash register, just yapping, and we were down to, okay, who was your favorite Beatle? Who was your favorite Stone? Who was your favorite Monkey? Who'd you have a crush on? And that kind of conversation, right?
Oh, that's like what we do right before the show starts.
I know, and you know what? You always try to steal my man.
I do. And you know what? My ovaries are better, so I think I got a better shot. How do you like them apples?
You know what? I think, yes, you do have better ovaries than I do.
And I have nice childbearing hips.
So while we were talking, she said that her favorite Rolling Stone was Charlie Watts, which is really kind of surprising because I don't know if that'll really jump out at you, but anybody else, that's not really he wasn't exactly the sex pot of the Stones.
No, that's Mick Jagger and Keith Richards.
Right.
Well, because it's...
Even my oddball choice when he was younger is like, I kind of liked Bill Wyman when he was young, but...
But you always go for the lead guitarist and the lead singer. Mostly. Yeah.
So I thought her choice was really odd, and she was like, yeah, well, I'm like, you're talking like 12, 13 years old, you had the hots for Charlie Watts? It was pretty not saying he isn't cool, but he wasn't exactly like the teen, Tiger Beat magazine material.
I love the Charlie Watts. Without the Charlie Watts, I wouldn't know how powerful these bulbs are. Big fan.
Oh, God. So then about an hour later, we're just standing there being bored, and we're in this area of the museum where it's kind of like where you buy the posters and tchotchkes and everything after the exhibit. And we're in a gift shop. And we're standing there. We look over at these two guys that are looking at posters. And I look at her and I go, you know that guy over there? He kind of looks like Charlie Watts. And then he turns just a little bit. And we both looked at each other and went, oh, my God, it is Charlie Watts.
Wow.
Like about an hour after we had the conversation about him.
And then she blew him.
You would think. She was too chicken to go over to him and say anything.
Well, how much older than her was she? Was he?
Oh, God. I don't know. 15 years older or something?
All right. Was she of age?
Oh, yeah. We were working.
Oh, then it was her duty to please her idol.
We weren't at a concert. We were at the Met.
Exactly. Makes it a better story. That way he could tell it on the couch when he's doing a radio interview.
She was afraid to talk to him. So she's trying to send me over.
Well, you were
hello.
You were the pimp. You were the handler.
I was the handler. I was like, hey, looking for a good time? No. So the idea was I was going to go across the room to where we had some more equipment. And I was going to pretend to fuss with that. But on my way past him, I was going to chop the little metal admission button off of my shirt onto the floor and say, oh, excuse me, sir, did you lose this? And as I got close to him and I heard his voice and I knew it was him, I totally chickened out and I made a beeline to the other side of the room.
Wow. I like how your big move was to drop something.
Well, it would give me an excuse to talk to him.
A really lame one.
I know, but it would have been some excuse instead of just like tapping him on the shoulder and going, are you Charlie?
How about hello?
Which is my usual move.
How about hello?
We work there. We're not supposed to bother them.
You bother lots of people. You can't help yourself. You are who you are.
No. I mean, when you're working at the museum, you're not supposed to, because famous people go through the museums all the time. You're not supposed to like bother them and fangirl all over them.
No, you offer them like the secret tour that nobody gets to see. Then you do them behind the Neanderthal mask.
That nobody gets to see.
No, you show them the tour that nobody gets to see, and you bang them behind the Neanderthal. That's the move. That's the move.
No. If you're talking about the Rolling Stones, that's the Neanderthal.
But what I'm saying, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. You know, there's no way for that to happen.
You know what? Like if you're a curator at the Cooperstown Baseball Hall of Fame and you want to bang somebody, you bang him right by the Ted Williams bust that's missing his head. There's always places. There's always places.
Okay, you have this all worked out. I'm glad.
Well, yeah, because I'm a man of action.
I know. Well, we were women of inaction.
Yes.
It was such a shame.
So, all right, so tell me about this reunion.
So the reunion was really cool. We all got together at this restaurant. It was funny. We went to some place called Zum something or other in the city. It was a beer garden.
Mm-hmm.
And there's it's a beer garden that serves all kinds of German sausagey kind of meats. Do you know that there's one bathroom for each man and woman in this place? What were they thinking?
Oh, I thought you meant like each person got their own bathroom.
No, that would be fantastic. And you'd think so with the cuisine, but no. The thing is that it was one seater woman's room, one seater men's room in a beer garden.
Well, you know what? They expect the people that are going to frequent such an establishment to have well-tested bladders.
Well, they were wrong. There was a line every single time.
Nobody knew that you with your fakakta plumbing was going to burst into the scene.
there's also, you figure that there's going to be, if you have all these sausagey meats, there's going to be aftermath.
You're disgusting. I can't believe you bring that to the show.
Of course I did.
Yeah, what's wrong with
you? So, anyway, this place was very nice, except for the one-seater situation. I know they have a lot of, overhead in New York, so they don't have a lot of places. Lisa says in the chat room, at least it wasn't an outhouse. No, it was not.
Christ, Lisa, it's New York City. There's no outhouses. It's New York City. You could just poop or pee wherever you want. And ever since de Blasio's in office, there's no rules.
I know.
Like
Joe's girl says, "Are the dreaded porta potty? Where the hell did you think I was?"
I'm gonna have to deal with the porta potty situation fairly soon, I think.
Although the problem with New York is that since they do pay so much, the bathrooms are so small. Usually, once you get in them, you can barely close the door behind you. They're so tiny, you practically have to climb up on the seat to close the door.
You know what? The clubs I'm working tomorrow, bathrooms are lovely.
Very good.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you.
Yeah, because you know what? I bring some nice iced coffee with me from the house, and I drive in, and by the time I get in, something has to get out. There's no time to mess around. No time for niceties. Iced coffee does not stay long in its host.
No, it does not. It's not like one of those things that clings on to its host.
No. No.
It needs to disappear immediately.
So is that the story? Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was just a really fun time.
Well, good for you. Good for you. I'm going to change the mood. I am pissed off at something.
Oh, tell me.
Well, first I have to play You Stink. You Stink. It's like Joe's here when that happens. I played You Stink. So I saw something, and I think I've seen it before, but I am tired of seeing it. And I want to know if you agree with me. I am tired of seeing fat kids on hoverboards. I am over it. Move, you effing veal. What?
I haven't seen this yet.
Oh, well, you know what the hoverboards are. They're not hoverboards, but they roll. So you have to expend no energy. You goddamn veal. Move. You fat fuck. Walk up the hill, ride a bicycle, roller skate, skateboard. I'm not asking for much, but if you are a fat kid, there is no reason why you can't at least walk. You gelatinous piece of garbage, you. Am I wrong?
I agree with you, though.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
I do.
There's nothing wrong with your legs. And if you don't get in the habit of walking now, and you're a little chubby now, and you're a kid, you're going to be really obese later, and you're going to have to ride a scooter. And that's not a good look on anyone.
No.
Being 35 and riding the scooter in Walmart is not good for anybody.
No, it's not.
So, I mean, I think the hoverboard is the gateway to the scooter.
It absolutely is a gateway drug.
I'm just tired of it. Okay, and these kids, now I sound like the old guy, which isn't usually my role on this show, but it's not. You know, usually I'm like...
No, you're usually the pup, and we're the old guys on this show.
Yeah, I'm usually sticking up for the youth. You know, that's usually my role on this show. But, I mean, these kids, I mean, listen, I have video games too. I grew up with Atari and handheld games. I get it. You know, and listen, right now, I still like to sit on my couch. But there's something to be said for walking. Walking! I'm not asking you to sprint. I'm not asking you to do a shuttle run. I'm not asking you to climb a tree. I'm asking you to walk.
You know what? Right now, you're sounding like my old gym teacher. Climb the rope!
I mean, but then I'm like, listen to this Chubsy Ubsy talking to another kid. He's like, no, I'm not going down that hill. It's too steep. Walk, you son of a bitch.
I'm not going down the hill. It's too steep. Downhill?
On the hoverboard.
Downhill.
Yes. He's like, well, wow. I had a lot of trouble getting uphill. Yeah, because you're fat. Walk. Walk.
Well, let me ask you something. Do these hoverboard things, do they go uphill?
Yes, they go uphill.
Oh.
Yes, they can't
go
up curbs.
When you want to go downhill, when you have a thing to bring you uphill.
Well, it's very steep, the hill. It's a hill
Okay.
That when I'm walking in the neighborhood, I walk up the hill to get cardio. It's a very steep hill. It's like the type of hill that I'm like, I'm glad I don't live in that part of the complex in bad weather, like in the ice, because I would never get my car up there, and I don't know if I'd be able to get it down. It's a pretty steep hill.
Oh, wait a minute. Is that the hill when I go to the first stop, it's the left?
No, it's a right when you come. Well, yeah, if you're leaving, it's a left.
Yeah. Oh, no. No, no, no. I wouldn't want to be on any wheels going down that hill.
I walk up that hill, though.
I know. No, I understand walking up. But going downhill on wheels, if you can't get control of whatever you're on, you're going to wipe out at the bottom really bad.
You know what you could do? You could walk.
Yes, you could do that.
You could ride a bicycle. There's options because bicycles have brakes.
Yeah,
I'm just old.
I just mean I remember myself like on my I know they were terribly uncool, but I had roller skates that looked like sneakers. And
oh, they still have those. They still have. I didn't know they had them when you were like where they have wheels that come out of the sneakers.
Yeah,
they still have those.
Oh, not wheels that come out of the sneakers. No, they were like sneakers on top of like a metal thing with the wheels attached.
What were they, like blue?
No, mine were white with blue stripes.
I don't know. Never had roller skates.
I forget what kind of sneaker they looked like, but they were like they were just like a sneaker version of the very old fashioned looking roller skates, but the thing is that, and they have the big knob in the front that you're supposed to stop with.
Mm-hmm.
I never figured out how to do that gracefully.
Oh, I've talked about this before on the show. I actually taught my daughter to roller skate, believe it or not. And I'm not a very good roller skater, but I taught her how to roller skate. But stopping was never my thing. When it was time to stop, it was more or less hurl myself onto the carpeted area.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. Like I was like a human shield. Like, if there was incoming gunfire and you were standing on the carpeted area, you would want me to need to stop because I would throw myself in front of you. Very brave. Very brave at those particular instances in my life.
I'm just picturing being on my old school roller skates coming down that very steep hill by you and getting to the bottom and going, I'm just going to have to, like, fly through the air onto that people's lawn and hope not to break anything.
Yeah, but here's the thing. As a youth, you were on roller skates. You were doing something.
Yeah.
You weren't a veal.
No, I was pretty active.
Yeah, and I blame the parents. I blame the parents.
I just think that any parents who are buying kids hoverboards are barking up the wrong tree.
Well, listen, if I have a really athletic kid who's lean and is active and outdoors, and they want it, all right, because they still want to be active and everything. But if you got a little bit of a tum-tum, no, you do not need a hoverboard. Here's a brand new bicycle I bought you. Use it. Here's a skateboard.
Yeah.
Here's your legs. Do something. My daughter does not want to learn how to ride her bicycle, which is a tragedy, but she does have a scooter, you know, which she likes to do, and if I take her to the roller rink, she does like to roller skate. You know, She hasn't
That's
asked me
awesome.
For, she hasn't asked me for a hoverboard yet. She's not fat, but she hasn't asked me for a hoverboard. But yeah, I'm just over the gelatinous mass that we have become.
I know. Well, you know what? It is a problem because there's so many kids with juvenile diabetes. It's not just like, oh, you know, they're a little lazy. It's like it's a health issue.
You know what else we got to stop with? You ever hear this? Where really fat people call themselves disabled? You're not disabled. Unless you actually have, like, bad legs or something, which is not brought on by the heaviness. You know, if you have, like, you know, if you have bad knees or a bad back, and you're disabled. But if you're just fat, you can't call yourself disabled. I'm over that too. You're not disabled. You know what? You know what? You're very able. You're very able to put the fork into your mouth. Stop.
But you see, that's the thing, is that which came first, the chicken or the egg?
No, like yeah, I said, if you have a medical condition and it leads to obesity, I'm fine. But if you're just obese, you're not disabled. You're a fat fuck. Let's go.
But how do you know which one's which?
You ask. Excuse me, I see you're 32 and huffing and puffing as you had to reach to bend down to get the ketchup at the supermarket. How did you get this way? You ask a question.
No, you don't.
Well, no, you don't, but somebody even more hateful than me. Speaking of, hi, Joe. How are you, pal?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Joe, do you agree with me on this? You caught the tail end of it. If you are just fat, you can't call yourself disabled.
If you just no, you can't.
Okay, thank you.
And then you see these hippopotamuses riding around in that fucking what's that little rascal thing around Walmart?
I was talking about that.
It's
earlier.
Like get your fat carcass out. You need the exercise.
Yes, yes.
That's like you go to Walmart. That's like you can't even see the exercise equipment because there's so many dust and cobwebs on it. Because nobody in that fucking store would ever lift a finger to do anything.
I like Walmart.
It's a treat. It's like where humanity ends.
It's a petting zoo.
You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to have, like, instead of a Walmart greeter, I wanted to have, like, Bobub, the frickin' mobile trailer, like a character, make him look like a car. Like, you ever see, like like a McDonald's figure, like Mayor McCheese
like
or something like that? Like the and have it Bebub, the mobile home trailer, and he greets everybody. Hey there, y'all! Welcome to Walmart, y'all! Hi, Bebub! Yeah, it's Bebub, y'all! Let me have my youngin' take a picture next to him. Hey, youngin', I'm Bebub.
I think we're off the point here. I'm not talking about living in trailers. I'm talking about fat people, Joe.
I understand.
Can we insult one person at a time?
I understand.
All right. So, I just gave a you stink, and you can add in, and then I'll move on.
like you outlined the procedure. You'll go, you stink. I'll scold you. Then we move on.
No. I'll let you chime in, give your take. I gave a you stink to fat kids on hoverboards.
I never saw one. I will pay money to.
No, but I mean. It's not a treat like the petting zoo, you criminal.
Bullshit, that's down par.
No, bullshit. I mean, if you're a kid and you're chubby, you should walk. At the very least, you should walk.
No, of course.
That's what I'm saying.
But you got to watch that hoverboard try to, like, scream. That it probably comes sparks and flames are coming out of the thing.
They do that anyway.
I understand that. They don't need fat someone. They're helping out.
I mean, really, you could see flaming Crisco if things go wrong with that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I would not buy one of them because they're not safe.
No, they don't look safe.
No. Well, I mean, they look, actually, they're from what I understand, they're easy enough to ride, but they blow up on their own.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, Joe's girl and I saw one day. We're down in the strolling around. Yeah.
Here's the thing. If you're a fat kid, you might come from a fat family. You might. And one of them is
you come from a fat family?
You might. I don't know. Sometimes you outgrow your fat.
Sometimes, yeah. But, I mean, fat families travel in packs sometimes.
That's what we call them.
Yeah,
call them
pachyderms. Ah, that was a foot race.
Yeah. See? At least we were running.
Yeah. What, it was blood in the water on that one?
See, to get me and Joe to do cardio, all you have to do is put an easy punchline out.
Yeah, they go chasing after it.
I didn't know those two assholes can move that
yeah,
fast.
Yeah, we're a comics, and we're a Jew and a Scotchman. All you got to do is throw punchlines or change, and we'll both fucking run in
the
front.
The easier, the better. Oh, wow. Let me get that one. Yeah. But if you're a Chubsy Dubsies, and you own a hoverboard, and they burst on fire, you're not going to get out of the house.
No.
You're going to burn.
That's
it's just
right.
Not safe. I'm doing them a favor.
Right.
All right. So that was my point with that.
Okay. You're an inspiration.
I'd like to think so. Did everybody vote today?
No, I didn't have a chance. I know we got to go to work.
Pip?
Vote?
What?
In a primary?
No, for class president, you asshole.
I want to give you a shut your face on that one. That was funny. No, stupid. Yeah.
Yes, in the primary.
I'm not registered as a Republican or Democrat.
Oh, for fuck.
Oh, you're an independent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was registered as an independent, too, and then I realized if I wanted to vote in these primaries several years back, I registered myself as the party of the lesser of two evils. That way,
I refuse to register as that party.
Oh, so you just
party.
So you just rather not be counted. You're an inspiration. Well, I mean, I've talked about this before. This you have two different issues. The fact that you have to go to work and you can't vote just means that voting should be national holidays.
Well, yeah, the thing about it is, how late are the polls open till today?
I think like 9.
Yeah, now,
they were open early though.
I know. I'm starting to get the house ready to sell, so I'm doing stuff before the day program. If I didn't have the show, I mean, obviously we have the show, we have to do the show, so I can't get to vote after
our
the show.
Show getting in the way of your democracy.
That's right.
I don't know. I mean, listen, it's a pleasure to vote in my district. I don't know how it is in other places of New York, but there's never any long lines. There are Republicans, Democrats together.
Right.
Everybody's playing nice. Mm. It, you know, you slide the little form into the computer. It goes easy. I don't need a picture ID because they have my signature, and then I sign next to it. This is how voting should be. It's almost like we're not a third world nation where I live.
Well, what do you expect? What do you think? It's like the riot scene from Evita when you go voting.
You've seen in other parts of the country, Joe. They show the footage. People waiting.
Thank you.
The riot scene from Evita. That was Arizona.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, more or less. But you've seen it where they have people waiting on for hours online to vote. This is America, for goodness sake. It shouldn't be that
way.
They
got nothing else better to do out there anyway. You got to look at stare at a cactus.
You can't even make time to vote, and it'll take you 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Imagine how little you would vote if you had to plan your day around it.
Yeah, really.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's such a pleasure the way they do things here. And without the stupid picture ID. Who the fuck? If you're going to fake an ID, out of all the things to fake, you're going to fake it to vote? No, you're going to buy drugs. You're going to buy weapons. You're going to sneak into a bar. If you got fake ID, there's much more things to do. I'm going to vote. Are ya? Are ya? That's what you're going to do with your fakey? You're going to vote? Yuck. You are the most boring person ever.
But it should be. With all the shenanigans in politics, there should be a photo ID. You know, or at least,
right, but there's reason. But they show why it's a lot harder for poor people to get the photo ID.
How is it hard for poor people to get a photo ID? Say cheese. How is that?
It is. First of all, a lot of the places where you can get an official photo ID, you know, we live in a fairly urban area.
It's easy enough to get food stamps and all that shit. You can't get a photo ID?
We live in a fairly urban area where everything's pretty convenient. You know, you live places, people got to drive 20 minutes to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a car, it's a lot more hassle. Like I said, you guys didn't vote today for your various reasons, and it couldn't be any easier than it is for us here.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine having to actually do shit to vote.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm very pleased with the way they do it here. I do not like the closed primary. I think that's a bunch of horse shit.
Right.
You know, but I think Pip's a little lazy. Well, I'm not. Fucking put your little D there. You've never voted independent in a presidential election. Suck it up, Buttercup. Put your little D there so you can vote in the primary.
But you want to know something. At the day program, it's very liberal, but it's starting to sway. A woman I work with, which was always pro-Hillary and pro-Republican. I go, you're a Republican? Yeah. I go, that's impossible.
Impossible. Long Island's very conservative. The state of New York is not. Long Island's very conservative. Manhattan's not. Long Island's
well,
very
it's funny. I did a private gig last night for one of the old club owners, and he goes, anything I can do? I go, don't like Hillary. They don't like Hillary, so don't say any pro-Hillary stuff. I go, I wouldn't do that at gunpoint.
At gunpoint, you would.
Yeah.
You could think of something.
Yeah.
we actually have a bit later on that we're going to be talking about doing jokes at gunpoint.
I have
a feeling you could say something nice if you had to.
That's funny.
I even have some pro-Trump material. I try to find the positive in everybody.
Yeah.
Walt is the owner of one of the owners of Joker's Comedy Club. Last time I was there, I'm like, I wonder what I'm going to do in between this next thing. He's like, do the Trump heaven bit. I love that bit. I'm like, okay, Walt. I'm taking Trump material.
He's pro-Trump too. Pro-Trump. Yeah.
He would blow Trump if he could.
He always sticks up if there's anything, you know, say about Trump, people, Trump is that. Walt comes right in, backs me up.
Please, he would love to suck Trump's cock because he thinks orange juice is going to come out of it.
I think it does.
I wasn't feeling unwell enough. Please.
Yeah, he's even more ridiculous than you are, and you're pretty ridiculous. But Walt Trump could do no wrong. Even once in a while, you go, I hope he explains this. But but for Walt, no. Trump could do no. If Trump were to crap in the middle of the street, Walt would go, you know what? That looks like a good vice presidential candidate right there. All right, but our process of voting for a president, in my opinion, is endless. It's just too damn long. It's been going on since what, last summer? Is that right?
Forever, yes.
I like politics. I don't even watch anymore. I mean, do you watch when they debate anymore?
I watch it. Yeah,
you watch the last Hillary Bernie debate?
No, that I didn't. I think it was I working that? I don't watch.
You don't watch the other side.
I don't know. They're up to no good.
Way to keep yourself informed, Joe. Yeah, I want to keep my opinions that Fox News is feeding me, and I don't want to know what they're saying.
No. I listen to both sides.
You gotta watch both.
Yeah,
you gotta. Do you watch debates anymore, Pip?
I do. I had been watching the Republican debates, and I forgot the night of the last Democratic one, but I picked up a lot of the highlights off the internet the next day.
It's just the same shit. It's the same shit.
Yeah, I'm sick of it.
Yeah, I mean, as a comic, we've talked about this before. If you're gonna be on TV that much, you got to write new stuff. And it's just wherever they go, it's the same stump speeches. It's the same crap. And they're getting.
What are they gonna do? They're gonna throw like after four debates, they're gonna throw away their hour.
Well, yeah. You know, yeah. you go to a little town hall, you workshop some new talking points.
That's funny. Work out on a Thursday.
Yeah.
Work out policy on a Thursday night.
I got a big debate next Tuesday. Going to be thousands of watching. Just throwing some shit out there. How about if I insisted that after every second child, a cyborg picks which one's going to live?
Yeah, right. You go up. How much time I got? Oh, you're going to be doing 12. All right. I can't do health care.
you just see a bunch of congressmen bitching that they got bumped because the presidential candidate came in.
Ah, that's funny. I was going to talk about free trade and work another. Well, what are you going to do?
Yeah, Trump with all his damn TV credits been seen everywhere. We get it.
Yeah, right. What do I say?
Donald Trump is the Dice Clay of politics.
That's funny.
They're bringer shows. They have to bring somebody in to get a building permit in order to perform in the town hall.
No, Cruz does bringer shows. They're called delegates.
Yeah. Did I say what I wrote today? I tweeted today?
I think I liked it.
Yeah, I go. Chevy is coming out with a commemorative car. I go, it's called the Ted Cruz edition of the Chevy Cruze. It runs on hot air and it stalls in New York.
Yeah, I thought it was funny.
Yeah. Nice.
Nah, you know, Cruz is going to get his ass kicked here. All right, so do you agree? We all agree that these go on way too long.
Yeah,
forever. Yes.
Here's the thing. It's gotten to the point. Donald Trump was entertaining for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially for the debates, you know, or even the morning call-in shows. What's Donald going to say next? What's he going to tweet next? Very entertaining. I'm at the point. I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit what he could bang Megyn Kelly on the podium. I don't care. I'm bored. He's overexposed.
That would do it, though, you know? He buried the hatchet while he buries her.
Well, they actually had a secret meeting. They had a secret meeting. So he might actually be doing an interview with her.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's fantastic. But Donald Trump, love him or hate him, was the most entertaining thing going.
Yeah.
And now he's boring as hell. I can't take it anymore. I'm tired of the whining. I'm tired of the outrageous tweets. I mean, really, you know, he talked about, you know, I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and people would vote for me. I want to see that now.
He might.
I'm waiting for him to shoot somebody. And he's the interesting one. I mean, I don't want to see... What?
I know, and we're already bored with his shtick. It's like, you know what? He's jumped the shark already.
He has jumped the shark. Donald Trump was overexposed before this, but you know, he reinvented himself as a bigger colossal asshole than anybody could have imagined.
Well, you got to think of it this way, okay? As you get close to the conventions, okay, everybody's got to start stating their platform and start being more detailed with what they're going to do, and Trump's handlers know that. So you know, he's going to start to, I believe, fine-tune things as any other candidate
But here's the problem with that. I no longer give a shit. There was a point.
You never liked him in the beginning. No, you never liked him for the first place.
No, wait, that's not true. I've always said Donald Trump potentially could have been very good.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of things Donald Trump, which could have been outstanding, but he's Donald Trump. He's an asshole. I liked his show. I watched the show The Apprentice. I was a fan of the football teams he owned.
He's got a new show he's going to put out. It's called President. It's going to be 4-year run.
What could President, what could have been? Yeah. No, it's not just Trump that I'm sick. I'm sick of all. He's the most interesting one.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Bernie. I'm tired of his shit. I get it. It's the millionaire's fault. It's Wall Street. I get it.
But do you want the one thing that the one thing that really bothers me is basically yes. Is that it's always about the party on both sides of the aisle. It's not about the country.
Well, because these are private parties. The government doesn't control the parties. The government has no...
I understand, but, it should be about the country.
It's not about the country. You're absolutely right.
Okay, fine. Okay, that's my point.
But,
yeah.
But that's why I laugh when people go, and you go too, well, Donald Trump loves America. No, he doesn't.
No, he does. Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't. Donald Trump loves himself.
He could see how inept the government is running.
Yet he can't manage to run his own campaign in a professional way. Stop whining. Oh, they're stealing the delegates. No, this is the process.
He brought in some new advisors. Yes, but going to find some things. But you bring in people when you're a guy like that.
Joe, before I started the radio show,
mm-hmm.
I did some research on some things. Now, I learned as I went along. But you do a little research before you go on an endeavor. He's been thinking about running for president at least since 2000, probably the 80s, to be honest with you. He's been thinking about this for years.
Right, but look, for me to say he's not rough around the edges, I'm an asshole. But here's the deal.
Well, let's not narrow down the reasons.
But you know what a lot of people say, and I kind of agree with it. Even though he's rough around the edges, and yeah, sometimes he doesn't act presidential, he seems more honest and genuine than the rest of them.
No, they actually say he lies more than all of them. They actually say, I've seen this on like PolitiFact and everything. Something like 76% of his statements are lies.
But you know what? He seems more genuine.
Yes, because he's a tremendous television personality. Mm. He absolutely. He's captivating. He's got charisma. He's full of shit. But it seems honest. And then you check it. It's not. People don't want to listen. It's not about Trump. My critique is not about Donald Trump per se. My critique is about the whole process.
Mm.
I'm tired of all them. And I'm tired of each state having individual rules to vote for a president of the United States. I don't understand why we can't have a federalized system of this is how you vote.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Trump's actually calling it out, calling bullshit on all of this.
He's calling bullshit because it's not working well for him. I guarantee you, if Trump gets president, nothing's going to change.
But it's not working well for him. But still, if something's not working well, it's not working well.
And you know, I said this to Walt the other day, and the place and time to bring attention to this was, so you don't sound like a whiny bitch, is before you run, you go, listen, I'm going to run, but I want you to know, before any ballots are cast, these are the things that I see that are wrong with the system. And if I become president, I'm going to work my tail off to fix this. I'm going to make democracy great again. That would have been the smart way to do it. To say, I recognize the issues. These are the rules. I'm going to play within these rules because it is the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. But if I become president, I'm going to work to make it better and more fair for everybody. Don't go halfway through and go, oh, wow, I'm losing.
But I think... Even though
he's not losing.
But I think that as it's actually happening and you're calling bullshit on it, you'll capture people's attention in the moment. Everything is so in the moment now.
Yeah, but he looks unprepared. He looks unprepared. I can't take him seriously when he says he's smarter than everybody, and everybody in Washington is dumb and incompetent, and they're kicking his ass. And it's like playing a baseball game. You go, what? I don't get to bat after three outs? No, it's the fucking rules.
But
everybody,
you want to know something? Just bring it back to the comedy. You could be the funniest guy in a club, but if you're going through like the city clubs, going through the political system in a club, and watching,
no rules.
Well, that's
there's rules in politics. No,
yeah, not but with the delegate, the way the delegates are factored, there is, but it's not fair.
Everybody
it's not right,
knew. Everybody knew them. We know, for instance, you don't go over the light. You go over the... It'd be like, you have a great set. You're supposed to do 10 minutes. You have a killer set. They love you. You do 12, and you get bitched at, and you can't play the club anymore, and you whine, oh, well, I didn't know. That's your fault. You're supposed to know.
However, you have a great set. You go under the light. There's a guy that's mediocrely funny, goes over the light, and nothing happens. He gets a better spot than you. He gets put on rotation, and you don't. that's bull because they happen to like him. And the deck is in his favor.
Everybody knows the rules going in now. And these rules cannot be, they're not favoritism. But again, I don't want to talk. We all agree that there should be. Do you agree, Pip? There should be federal guidelines.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah,
it's all loosey-goosey all over the place. I think that it's ridiculous that it's not standardized.
Now, look, this country's been around for over 200 years, you know. Why do you think they haven't changed that? It's been this way for a while.
The rules change, certain rules. The states can change the rules whenever they want. That's
you
why.
You want to know something? Yeah, you're right. You know, you're right. That statement was wrong because basically that they do.
The Republicans,
the
Republicans, for instance, have talked about they can change the rules up until the convention starts. When the convention starts, they can make rules.
And you know,
because these are private parties.
Yeah, right. I forgot. Shame on me. Yeah, they have been saying that. You know, they can do whatever they want.
And the states maneuver their ways however they want.
So the whole thing is, and you know, people think about that, and you're absolutely right in that statement. But we'll change the rule. And they've been saying that when Trump has been calling bullshit on them. And, we could change the rule. So what if it just says I have to leave my house and place my vote when it's like, it could be manipulated?
Well, I mean, Trump does have a valid complaint. But again, it's been going on forever. We're like, I guess nobody cast a ballot in like Wyoming or Colorado and they all went Cruz. I mean, that's a fair complaint.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fair complaint.
Yeah.
So there should be. I mean, the way Trump goes about it is so wrong. Like I said, Trump could have done a lot of good things. Trump could have brought attention to a lot of issues. But there's a time and a place and a way to handle it, and he handles everything so wrong.
Well, he's a businessman, he's an executive, and he hands things heavy-handed.
Yeah, but he sounds like a whiny bitch. He could still be a business and executive and identify the problems ahead of time and go, these are the problems, and then work through the problems.
Right.
That's what you do. Well, you don't go halfway through and go, well, I didn't know. He's supposed to be a negotiator, and he's whining he can't want it. He's complaining he can't get these delegates. You're a negotiator. You're supposed to be able to negotiate these people to vote for you.
Mm.
It kind of undermines what he says.
But he is making more than ever. He is making it a focal point on how
ridiculous this is. We'll see what happens. He is. But you know what? Nothing really changed after 2000 when essentially Jeb Bush gave the election to George W. Bush.
But what happened was that it was at the election. It wasn't
right,
during the process.
But you had the Supreme Court ruling on who got the presidency.
Yes.
Because Florida couldn't get their shit together.
Yes.
But, and nothing's changed.
But it was this whole thing that it lasted. How was that? How long was that? Probably about 3 weeks, was it? That whole
after? Yeah, it was a while.
About 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And it was just a 3 week period, you know? And
no,
my
point is, we recognize problems, we don't fix them. Listen, if Donald Trump becomes president and he actually works to rectify these problems, I'll take it back. I'll applaud him.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody ever does once they get in because the system worked for them.
Right. Well, if let's say Donald Trump gets in as president, and
as I pack my bags for Toronto,
and I will drive you to the border. But anyway, when he goes through the process again, if he's elected and he runs a 4-year term and he wants to run again, and he complains about the process, I don't want to hear it. You knew about it, had 4 years to go over it and discuss it and fix it. Don't bitch about it again. That's not my problem. It's your problem.
So we all agree we would much be happier with a federalized rules for national elections.
Mm-hmm.
We all agree.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I have another idea. We all agree that this goes on way too long.
Yeah.
I disagree because basically we get a lot of time to take a look. It depends on the party. Now, look, it's been Bernie and Hillary, and who was the original people that were running in the Democratic Party?
It was essentially Bernie and Hillary.
Very good.
There was like Lincoln Chafee, and who was the other one?
Lincoln's dead. That's impossible.
No idea.
Yeah, after that joke, he probably killed himself again. It's terrible. Although, really, you don't hear a lot of Lincoln Chafee jokes. I'll give you an A for effort.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to just sit there and let it go.
You could have. We could have.
No, you always try to give you a good swipe on it. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
All right.
All right.
Cool. Neutral.
All right. Anyway. All right. So it's been Bernie and Hillary. Now, on their end, it has been long in the tooth. On the Republican side, there has been so many candidates, and you watched them, and you had a chance to see who possibly would be the better candidate.
Which is good, but again, I don't think it needs to be this long, and I don't think we need a state like Iowa determining so much shit. A state that's like 98% white and evangelical, so who the hell gives...
You go back to where it should be federally mandated.
This is my idea. So the year of the election, so it'll be 2016 in this case... We divide the nation to four quarters geographically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, northeast, south, you know, just divide in four. And then you have four Super Tuesdays starting in February.
Mm-hmm.
So, say the first week in February, you say the northeast goes. Whatever. Mm-hmm. You rotate it every year, every 4 years. Or if you want to do it with the congressional stuff, every 2 years. However mm-hmm. you want to do it, so that nobody's always goes first, nobody always goes
mm-hmm.
last.
Mm-hmm.
So you do that. So that, say this year the Northeast goes first. So we have all the Northeast states go mm-hmm. on the first Tuesday in February. You wait another 2 weeks so that there can be more campaigning
mm-hmm.
and people who need to be drop out of it if they get shellacked, whatever, they can drop out. And then you do, say, the Southwest. Mm-hmm. You know, 2 weeks later, you do that, those states. Then you wait another 2 weeks. That way, you get it wrapped up in a timely manner. We still get to vet the candidates, because I do think there is something to be said for seeing them over a period of time. But you don't have to spend all this money. A state like Iowa is not more important than, say, California. Forget that California's left, right. I'm just saying California. You could say Texas. You know, a state where there's so many people.
Right.
It's ridiculous for a state like Iowa to be so much more important than a state like California, mm-hmm. which goes last. It's ridiculous.
You could also build that into a campaign reform program with how much donations, you know, super PACs, how much a super PAC.
I would get rid of all that stuff, but you know that.
Well, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually fine. Now, a lot of things with that, with Obamacare and stuff like that. Now, I am
How
not.
How do we get to Obamacare?
Hear me out. With Obamacare, I don't like Obamacare. But here's the thing. The healthcare system in this country has to be revised,
and it
has to be revised in how things are how things are being done.
That's what Obamacare was. I think Obamacare is a revision. I hope it's not the final.
But it's not. It's not leaning on the pharmaceutical companies. It's not leaning on over redundancy in hospitals. You know, to that effect.
That's because the insurance companies wrote the bill.
But they wrote the bill. But it's also their campaign. You know, the super PACs that they're paying into the politicians.
Right.
So you're
against Citizens United.
If that's what they do, is Citizens United.
Citizens United is what it considered corporations like people, which allowed a lot of the money to go into all these campaigns. Where you have national campaign corporations putting a lot of money into local state races so that they can get their way in Congress.
Yeah, that would be, because basically what it is.
Then you want actually, and this is going to make you shiver. Strap yourself in, Joe. You want actually a liberal, because I know how you are on the social issues. You're kind of liberal on the social mm-hmm. issues. You actually want a liberal on the Supreme Court, because with a liberal on the Supreme Court, since you don't care about abortion, you know, you're pretty much either way. You know, it's not a big issue for mm-hmm. you. Gay marriage is not a big issue for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a liberal on the Supreme Court, you would actually have a chance of overturning Citizens United, which would mean that corporations could not just flood all these campaigns.
That would be a step in the right direction, because basically. In regards to healthcare, yeah, the pharmacists, they're all there. They're not going over this redundancy. Yeah,
no, yeah,
they need to be. Yes, I would. Yes, I do.
So you actually, you this is going to blow your mind here. But if that's a big issue for you, you would actually be better off biting the bullet for 4 years, even though you hate her. Say, because the Republicans actually have a centrist Supreme Court, Supreme Judge that they could vote in right now, but they're not hearing. And I know you think they should hear Merrick Garland, but they're not.
Mm.
But you would actually be better off, if you think money should be out of these elections, with Hillary getting the nomination for the 4 years, as much as you hate her, her nominating a Supreme Court justice who's going to be much more liberal than Merrick Garland, who's the centrist that Obama, and then you have a shot at Citizens United being overturned.
But the only thing is that Hillary is in bed as much as the rest of them
right,
are,
but
even though she elected.
No, she is.
You know, the problem,
but
Dad,
you'll get the liberal justice.
Hopefully, I will.
You got a better chance than you will with Cruz or Trump.
Mm.
I mean, you got to. So if that's a big issue for you, and it should be a big issue for all of us, you're better off.
And if you want to know something, if you really wanted to paint me into a corner, you should have threw Bernie in there instead of Hillary.
No, I know.
But you know what I'm saying?
Hillary's the most distasteful to you.
But Bernie is a socialist, and I don't like his pro. You know, and to tell me you just I'm surprised you didn't do that, because you know how much I don't like want a socialist liberal in there. And
I think
Bernie would.
Here's the thing
personally,
with Bernie.
Bernie would be the better one to do that.
Here's the thing with Bernie, and I don't want to get into particulars. That wasn't the mm-hmm. point of this conversation.
Right.
I think if you took the title of socialist off, which Bernie's trying to distance himself for because he's trying to win a national election. So Vermont. No, I mean, let's be honest. They all want.
You gotta drop that shit.
Pretty much. Oh, trust me, Donald Trump's going to be running from half the shit he said. The New York Post said as much. But anyway, but we're talking about Bernie right now. If you drop socialist from his title, I think you would actually like a lot of the things that he stands for. Because like I said, on social issues, you're fairly liberal. And the things that he stands for would actually help you out financially. Where he wants to get the money out. He like Trump, is not funded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, the only difference is he's doing it with people like us donating. Trump has a lot of money to do, and Trump was very smart. He puts himself on television so he doesn't have to pay for advertising. Very smart. But I think you would actually like Bernie. I think you would, if you could look past the socialism, and remember, he's not going to get to do half the shit he wants to do either, because it's a Congress and a Senate.
Yeah, I understand. But my whole thing is all these programs cost money, and all these government programs are so overbloated.
Bernie tells you right now, taxes are going to go up. Not for you and I. I have a fairly good idea of the tax bracket you're in. Taxes are not, if you look at his tax plan, they're not going to go up for you and I. They're going to go up for people making over $250,000, more, this, that, the other thing. They're going to pay more, but that's going to pay for more of this health care and the college. I mean,
but my whole thing about that is that you look at the tax, what they're going to tax the people in that echelon, okay? Mm-hmm. And my whole thing is that if you start taxing that, it could hurt their disposable income. The disposable income goes to people that work in the pool business, people that work in a carpentry business, people that work in the service business.
Here's a misnomer, and I'll put it down on a level that you've seen yourself. That's the theory behind trickle-down economics. You know, that the rich will spend the money and it'll trickle down to everybody else. That's the theory. In reality, it doesn't work. And we've seen it.
I've seen it work, personally.
No, but we've seen the other side. When we're playing a fancy establishment, mm-hmm. say a place that I book,
right.
An upscale restaurant, mm-hmm. the people don't buy as much merch. You go to a firehouse in a podunk town where everybody's poor and they don't have the disposable income. They are spending. Poor people spend money.
Yeah, but the thing about it is we're not talking about have a tequila shot glass. We're having...
Those are good times.
I know.
have a tequila shot glass in every
pot.
We're not
talking about items that cost $5 would cost here. It's people that want to add on to the house, people that go, you know, carpenters, cabinet makers, people, service industry, landscapers and stuff like that. If people are getting taxed, they cut back on those services. Those services employ people. Those people have to pay taxes too.
You're asking them to change their lifestyle. I don't think they would. These are not life... Listen, I don't want to talk taxes, but they're not lifestyle. They're not, you know, when you have that much money, another 5-10% is not going to change your lifestyle. 5 or 10%, that's the problem with the flat tax. If everybody got, say, taxed 10%, it affects people like you and I a lot more than it does a multimillionaire.
But these people that do have money, I mean, it's always, you know, it tax the rich. It hurts expansion. And it
Well, listen, I mean, Bush had some of the biggest tax cuts in history, and it sunk the economy. I mean, he had some of the biggest tax cuts, and the economy went in the shitter.
Well,
and Reagan had some of the biggest tax cuts too. He also raised taxes. Reagan also raised taxes. Republicans don't like to talk about that, but because of the trickle down economics, you know, Bush Senior said, "Read my lips, no new taxes." And he goes,
"That was his."
But then he said, "I got to raise taxes."
Well, he should have never said that.
But he didn't think he was going to have to,
you know. And he also wouldn't recognize what also sunk him was that the economy was going down, and he never really mentioned it or looked into that, and that's what sunk him.
So we all agree, though, that my reforms would not be bad.
No, it wouldn't be for Biden. It should be in a whole campaign reform package. You put that in a complete campaign reform package.
I'll get right on that, Joe.
I'm just accentuating a good idea. I'm not busting your chops.
No, I know, but I like you. You put that together. Now, should I direct tweet Donald Trump, or since you're one of his biggest fans, should you be the intermediary?
Yeah, meanwhile, the real thing, who's remembering the backdrop to the show? You know?
Anything going on with you, Joe?
Oh, yeah. I got a phone call today on the way up to the show.
All right.
It was the estranged wife. And she goes, "You didn't tell me the landscapers were coming today." And I go...
Didn't Trump's wall keep them out?
Yeah, I go, "I didn't know they were coming. Well, I was getting ready for work. And what if they saw me naked?" I go, "That would be another bush they could trim."
I thought she liked Spanish guys.
Yeah.
Did you really say that to her?
Yeah.
You're despicable. you are despicable. Say it again.
No, I go, she goes, "What if the landscaper saw me naked?" I go, "That would be another bush they could trim." Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's amazing how things didn't work out.
Yeah. Well, because I'm doing a base right now. I'm in the middle, smack dab in the middle of getting the house ready. So I got those guys coming in, doing a major, major cleanup, cutting the lawn, getting all the outside stuff done, which I never do because I've always done it myself. But I'm in a position right now where I got to get stuff done too sweet.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you're gonna get used to paying people to do shit for you. It's a nice feeling.
Yeah,
that's how I do that. I talked about it before. People come and I have such soft hands. There's a reason. Yeah. They count money and they spend it. I pass my see, Joe. I am a job creator, although I am not exceedingly rich.
Let me ask you a question. If you had to pick up a little bit, if you got taxed a little bit more, stuff like that,
I don't mind.
There would be, really?
I'll tell you why. Depends what it goes for. To start another war, not a really fan.
Mm-hmm.
Not a real fan. Although I do realize taxes might have to go up for the deficits that we've had since Bush and then Obama, because Clinton gave him a surplus.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to say who, I have my opinions on that. I understand taxes have to go up. I understand that. Now, if you told me my taxes are going to go up $5,000, it's a lot of money for me. It's a lot of money for me.
A lot of money for anybody.
Well, not anybody. It's a lot of money for us. Not a lot of money for a rich person.
Still, no. You know why? Because if you're rich, you're looking at every penny. You didn't become rich because you were frivolous with your money.
I think if you're making $75,000 or less, it's a lot of money. I'm just ballparking.
$75,000 or less? I would say, you got to remember, I live on Long Island where it's ridiculously expensive.
You're right. Well, we live in a
$100,000, and I'm talking about if you've got kids in school, stuff like that.
$100,000. Let me tell you what the money goes to. And this goes to the Bernie thing. I don't know how the hell we got here. But anyway, this goes to the Bernie. So I pay, and he's talking about this, $5,000 more. Kids get free state college education, which means they're going to have better jobs. They're going to be better job creators. You're going to be better educated. We're going to be compete better. And everybody has the same health care that Congress and Senate have, where we're not getting killed with these premiums, where they're not going up every month, and we all get the same health care, and we're not paying five times as much for medication as Canada is. For $5,000 a year, we get that? I'll do it. Now, I know not everybody thinks like me.
Right.
But I would sign on for it.
I would not. $5,000 for a free education.
You don't have kids.
But the thing about it is, I went to school at night and I busted my ass because I had to pay for every red cent. You get these kids going to college, then if they're getting a free ride, they're not going to take it seriously.
Yeah. I mean, well, the kids get scholarships, and
but those are the kids that study. I'm saying,
you put something in there. You get a free ride, but if your GPA falls below 2.8. If your GPA is below 2.8 after three semesters, because it's a little rough to adjust. Some people takes a little longer to get on. So after a year and a half of a 4-year education, you're below 2.8. We're not paying for it anymore. Or you work something out.
Right. And we're going to pay into a system. First of all, I believe that it should be earned. Second of all, look at what the colleges spend. Let's take a look at college textbooks. What a rat. So we're funding all this stuff. Meanwhile, we have a college textbook system that it's such a ripoff. And nobody ever... you went to school.
What? That's kind of changing because now people get a lot of their texts on computer. And all. Things are changing.
It still needs to change more where it's a racket. We're not funding a racket.
Listen, a lot of things need to change more. But you asked me, would I pay more money for certain things? I would.
I wouldn't till they wind up streamlining it and they wind up cutting costs and they wind up running more efficient.
If every American paid $5,000, your kids go to college, our kids. Our kids go to college, everybody gets health care, and we can figure out how to take care of our vets properly, where they're not waiting online for months and months and then they die or they kill themselves. If we could figure that out, we're all 300 million of us, that's a lot of people. Well, the people of working age, because 300 million is the population of the country, not everybody's of working age. All the working people, we kick in $5,000 every year, and we could do all those things.
We couldn't because we're kicking it into a mismanaged bureaucracy.
Well, listen, everything's mismanaged.
I understand that, but that's not, so if it's mismanaged, why kick the
money
in?
So your problem is, it's not you don't think it's a bad idea. You don't trust the people running it.
Right. Okay. Exactly. I don't want to. It's a mismanaged bureaucracy. If it was something that they actually made an attempt to streamline, to structure, to come down on, to reduce cost, and proved it, and said, look, we've got this down. We've demonstrated how we could. We would like to propose where it gets kicked in. Now we have streamlined. Now we need to do the next step.
So what would be ideal for you, and then we're going to take our break. What would be Bernie's ideas? Bernie's ideas was somebody like, in your mind, Donald Trump overseeing them.
You know, essentially that would work.
Okay.
What's wrong with that?
I'm not saying anything.
I understand
wrong.
That.
I mean, I don't happen to think Donald Trump's the best businessman.
But what I'm saying but that is something. And you know, it all boils back. If we're going to backtrack during our whole conversation during this whole period of the corporations not paying in, not
so you don't know. You don't know. It's interesting. I'm learning this. You don't really object to Bernie's ideas. From living in this country, you realize how bad our government could be. Imagine you don't trust them to do it well.
Exactly.
Okay, that's fair.
Exactly.
That's fair.
And I don't trust them because they're in bed with everybody.
But Bernie's not. Bernie's not in bed, and you know that. And even the Republicans say he's trustworthy.
But it's still kicking into a mismanaged system.
Right, but if Bernie were to say, obviously Donald Trump would not run it, obviously. But if Bernie were to say, I'm going to get people like Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, businessmen you would respect.
Yes.
Who are left-leaning. That's why I said them. Although Trump could be left-leaning tomorrow. Who the hell knows? But if I said, these people are going to run things. They are going to oversee it so that it works properly. And we are going to implement Bernie Sanders' vision for this country. This is going to be the New Deal. Because he's the one dreamer that we have that's running. He's the one guy with the big vision. And that's why Hillary says, well, we can't do this. And that's why the people who love Bernie say, well, why can't we? But if we had Bernie's vision with titans of industry overseeing it, you would like that.
If these streamlining was starting to get results on it. If they went in first.
You wouldn't know you're going to get results until, you know.
But still, you have these guys go in first and streamline it and go through it and fix it. If they fixed it, if you saw that it was being fixed, and then you were asked to pay into it.
Well, I think the first thing is, and you've brought it up, and I said time and time. Yeah. First thing is, you got to get the money out of politics. That's the first thing.
But I'm saying, if you saw it was being fixed and it was getting better, and then they asked you to kick in because we're bringing the deficit down and kicking it, and it is getting better, they're making it work.
Yeah,
I'm in. I'm in with those 5 G's.
See, now it's interesting, and then we really need to take this break about Obamacare. See what you see, and what a lot of people see. I've seen it myself. Is we see our premiums go up, and we see we don't get the coverage that we think we should be getting for our raised premiums, so we get pissed off. That's what we see.
Right.
And that's why there's so much people that are frustrated with Obamacare. I get that.
I don't know anybody that likes it.
Right. I get that. But the other side of this is there are people that have never been covered before whose lives were saved because we're covered. And that's what I look at. Because I remember my wife was like, what the fuck? You know, our premiums are going. I look at it like that. And there's been stories like that. I look at the people that are covered now. I realize for me, for my personal life, it hurts more. But it's better than people dying.
Right. But the way I look at it is that it's a mismanaged system.
It is.
We didn't fix it.
Obamacare, in my opinion, was a step in the right direction. Clearly, it is not what he promised. It really isn't what he promised. You can blame whoever you want for that. I think everybody would say this could be a lot better.
It was. It wasn't.
No, it's
well
better than what it's better. It's better than what we had before. Because remember, pre-existing conditions weren't covered before.
Well, I'll give the concession on that.
Well, but, so that's a big thing.
But they have to. You know, it's something that a lot of people didn't read. They pushed it through. It was they sold us a bill of goods, and they didn't regulate the problem with the medical
industry.
Well,
that comes back to money.
That's the problem.
That comes back to the money.
Well, right, because they're all in bed. Right, exactly.
All right,
that's what they need to do. You can't. You know, that, and Dav, that's my whole thing with the socialist agenda that Bernie Sanders has. You want us to pay. You want to pay, but you haven't fixed what we're paying into.
I get that.
Fix it. You fix it and you demonstrate to the American public, we're fixing it. It's working. It's helping. Now we need to improve on it and kick in.
You'll get
my money because you could see it's a sound investment.
In order to do that, you would need both sides willing to hold corporations, businesses, whoever, feet to the fire. You got to get the money out of it. It could be done. Not going to probably be done in our lifetime.
I think that people in the age of the internet and the age of more information, I think people are starting to see what a sham a lot of stuff is, and and how things are mismanaged, and how the government wants us to pay in and do this when the government can't run itself properly. And I think people slowly but surely are starting to demand more accountability out of the government before they start paying into it.
I don't know if that's the case, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. You know, listen, Bernie's the guy with the vision. Donald Trump is the guy who's running on, I can get things done. Maybe Bernie doesn't have the vision. Maybe Trump can't get things done. We'll find out. We'll see. Hillary's kind of business as usual, and Ted is kind of like, I'm not going to get shit done no matter what. So, we'll see.
Yeah.
Interesting. A lot of politics there. Anything to add, Pip?
Not really. You guys pretty much have debated this to death.
All right, well, go fuck yourselves. At least it was civil. It wasn't what I intended to do with this portion of the show.
No, it was.
But, no.
I think we all agree that I have some good idea for reforms so that our elections could be better.
Yeah, all right. Get right on it.
All right.
Make some phone calls.
Rest of the show's canceled. All right. I got shit to do. On the break, we're going to be listening to Mark Orell and Raymond Rave with their single Another Way. And to learn more of them about them, you go to khb-music.de, khb-music.de. When we come back, we're going to do our syndicated portion of the show, and we're going to talk about the bands that everybody loves but just get under your skin. So don't go anywhere. You're listening